Shauger, you know, a lot to get to, but this past weekend, but, you know, today Jim Aston, you know, kicked the hornet's nest with another possible winger for the Oilers in Jake DeBrusk. And I believe you know the player and you've probably thought of one before, but is this the type of player that the Oilers should be looking for and maybe trying to see what the cost would be to bring in and play beside, one of their two big horses up front?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that Jake DeBrusk kind of has the pedigree of a top six winger who could, with a real good center, maybe put up some numbers. And he's a guy who's been a one organization guy for a few years now. I mean, you cannot deny the fact that he scored 27 goals one season. So you just, that doesn't just happen because. And I think we know that the situation with the head coach there has not been great with him. He's been on the wrong side of it here for whatever reason for a little bit, and he's fallen out of favor. So, yeah, I would think that would be a player you would be interested in looking at. I don't know what the acquisition cost would be, how much, what it would look like, but he's got some skill. And, yeah, I think it would be worth a little look-see. How about you, Strutty?
Yeah, I like the idea of him. You know, I think that, you know, I've kind of got that left side. It's in my opinion, wide open. Even, you know, with Nuge, I don't know what's going to happen there. But I
and
think
they don't
you
have
have
Nuge yet.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. It could be four spots. You know, if Cahoon's not back, if Ennis isn't back, if Neil's bought out and Nuge is gone, that's kind of four left wingers by my count. So, you know, you got to bring four. But my big thing is to not have all four be the same. I think I want to see some speed. But, you know, the one guy just from watching Tampa, and I know, you know, Gregor loves Blake Coleman. I don't know what it is about Barkley Goudreau. I don't know if I like his name or what, but there's just, and again, this is for top level player. I'm looking more down, you know, in the 3-4 spot, but he brings a lot of things I think the Oilers need in that 4 spot. Some jump, you know, bit of, you know, some scoring ability, but, and that winning pedigree. Is that a guy that you kind of like, or you should fill up the top before I worry about the bottom of my sandwich?
No, I don't think you can operate that way. I think you need to have your eye on all layers at all times. I mean, you got to have targets in mind and certain types of players that you want. And I think, yeah, I agree with you, man. Barkley Goodrow plays the game in a playoff style that I think would be good for them. I think he's a player that has some experience now. You know, I think he skates well. He can hit pretty hard, and he's just a good all-around player that I think is robust for the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't think that's a crazy suggestion at all. I think it's good, but it is. I mean, that would be for your likely for your bottom couple of lines, right? And the priority list, they definitely need to figure out what they're doing on their first two lines on the left side. But he's a different. To me, he's a bit of a different conversation than a Jake DeBrusk, right? Jake DeBrusk is somebody who, depending on which Jake, you know, which how good he can be and how good he fits with one of your top couple of guys, that could be somebody that really fits an important need for them. So a different conversation, I would say, for a guy like Goudreau.
Talking all things NHL with Ryan Rashog from TSN. You know, you go back to when the Habs were down 3-1 to the Leafs.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that, you know, the conversation around their coach and GM probably wouldn't have been that positive this summer. You know, there would have been maybe some changes in that spot. Now they're poised to move on to the second round. What a difference, I don't know what you want to call it, Shauger, 7 to 10 days make? And now this organization is looking at the conference finals. Like, it is amazing. And, you know, in the end, is it fair to say that the plan that was laid out by Mark Bergevin, the general manager of the Habs, was correct all along, knowing this is a playoff-built team?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I'd like to know what he was saying behind the scenes about how he felt about his team overall and if they got to the playoffs, if he felt that they would be capable of doing something like this. You know, I mean, he built a team that clearly is functioning well in the playoffs. They're a nice blend of some experienced guys and some guys with lots of big game experience, but just enough kind of youthful cluelessness. I think that helps the lineup as well, right? When you get guys like Caulfield and, you know, Kotkaniemi, or even, you know, young Nick Suzuki, you get these guys that are they're young players, but they're playing important minutes for them. So I like the blend. Yeah, and I think I don't know if they knew that they would be capable of this. Or I mean, I don't know about you, Struts, but coming into the playoffs, I thought there was clearly like a one. They were the fourth team for me, you know, coming into the playoffs. I didn't see them capable of doing this.
Well, it's funny because I thought I picked them to finish first in the in this North Division, and
what,
I said all year long
that
start of the year I said thought they'd be first, and then they started out great, and I looked like a genius, right? And then I don't think I talked after about game 15 about the Habs. You know, then I also said I thought the matchup of Oilers and Jets was an awful one. You know, so you know, I guess I should have trusted my instinct, but I can't believe that what they're doing, and I. With their defense, the Montreal defense, I don't think they're the best defensive group in the playoffs, but I think they're really good at what they do because I don't see the Jets getting any second chances around the net, and then you got Carey Price if they do. I mean, it's if they don't find a way to get to the net, the Jets, that is, you know, to tonight will probably be their swan song.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the way they're built too, and we'll see on Petrie tonight. Obviously, he's an extremely important player for them. And we'll kind of see how that goes. But, I mean, we all know what Shea Weber is. You know, he's a smart enough player, and he's been around long enough that whatever he might be lacking in foot speed, you know, positioning and smarts and sort of nastiness, he can get by on. You know, Edmondson, big rangy guy that has some experience, was a good contributor for the St. Louis Blues on their run. You know, Jeff Petrie, I just mentioned, like they just – yeah, they've got a group of guys that are big enough and can move just well enough and play the game just structured enough in their own end to be able to kind of frustrate the opponent and not give up those big second opportunities. And you get Carey Price sitting there to kind of take care of all the rest of the junk, right? So, it's an impressive team game, the way they're throwing it out there. You know, for them to have rattled off a lead like this in this series is, man, that's something, especially coming off the emotional series that they had against Toronto. You'd think maybe there'd be some sort of letdown, or but they really haven't skipped much of a beat at all, have they?
No, they haven't. And then on the other side, you know, the Jets, I honestly thought they were going to win last night. You know, I sat down to watch the game. I got myself a Heinz root beer. Little bit of extra popcorn. I sat down with the kids, you know, let's get the rabbit ears done correctly. And then they just look so, compared to what we saw against the Oilers, it's so different. And I'm surprised that team is unable to get to the net. Like, I'm looking at you, Blake Wheeler. I'm looking at Adam Lowry. I'm looking at Paul Stastny. You know, Kyle Connor, though he's not a big guy, he's quick and he should be able to dart in there. You know, Ehlers, I don't know if he's a guy that always drives the net, but, you know, they have skilled players that should be able to get in there. And they're not getting in there. So, you know, are they banged up? Maybe, but is everyone banged up? You know, like, it really is. If you're Paul Maurice, You know, I heard him today talking about the zone entries and exits, and I get all that. But, man, it's great to get in other teams then, but you got to get in that slot area. If you're not, Chug, I think it's hard to score, especially in the playoffs. When you look at Montreal, I mean, every goal they have is a 6-inch tap-in. You know, Corey Perry wrapping around, Suzuki, you know, getting away from Lowry, and he should probably stop that, right? Like, it's such a unique setup. And I thought that the Jets would be doing what the Habs are doing in this series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can overstate the loss of Mark Scheifele for this group. I mean, he plays 26, almost 27 minutes a night for them in the postseason here. He's just so crucial for them. He's their emotional leader in a lot of ways. You know, he just drives the bus in so many different facets of the game for them. So, I mean, if I'd have told you ahead of the series, look, they're going to have to try and stay in this series without Mark Scheifele. Like, I'm not super surprised that they've had a heck of a time because they're missing, outside of their goaltender, arguably their most important player here. So they're having trouble overcoming that. And I agree with you, man. You have to, when Montreal is doing what Montreal is doing, you got to figure out a way to shake out of the pattern. And the pattern is you're not in the spots you need to be in, and you're not getting in the goalie's way enough, and you're not kind of playing that style of game that shift after shift, when you play it, you're going to earn some breaks for yourself, you know, and they're kind of just not. So I agree with you. And like Connor, I mean, how dangerous and deadly was he at times in that Oilers? I mean, my goodness, that Oilers series, he would just dominate for shifts and just so dart in and out and wicked shots and just all over the place. Well, we haven't really seen that. So yeah, Winnipeg's bit of a shadow of what they showed against the Oilers. But without Scheifele, I'm not going to say I'm not surprised, but it's clearly taken a big bite out of them losing him.
Yeah, and kind of lastly, and this is a little bit bigger point, we can carry it on all week, but as I'm watching these playoffs, if you as a team are unable to create offense off the cycle, your stay in the playoffs can be pretty short. You know, like we just talked about Montreal. I mean, just mucking it up, right? Even Vegas, was it Marchessault's, I think it was his hat trick goal last night. They just get in there and those guys aren't big and they're banging around Riley Smith, a backhand through the crease. Marchessault goes around that boom, backdoor tapping. Like those aren't off the rush. So I think for the Oilers, they need to find players that can do that. You know, they to get there and grind. I mean, that Montreal line, you know, Eric Staal, he was the worst trade. I can't believe they traded. Now he, Perry, and who is it? Armia, I think, is on that line.
Yeah.
That line is just, they're owning the Jets down low. Like, and so who was that line for the Oilers this year? How many times did we say, oh, you know what, Shogart, that was a great cycle shift. Not enough, because in the playoffs, you got to figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. They weren't in the playoffs. And when you listen to Paul Maurice during that series, he actually gave a couple of very detailed answers about what they were doing well to stymie the offense. And that's, without using the word cycle, that's exactly what he talked about, how his team was doing a good job of, you know, when things were down low, not being out of place in a way where suddenly they isolate a two-on-one coming out of the corner, right? Well, that's what the cycle is, right? You cycle, yeah. You look for your opportunity, all of a sudden you isolate a guy who stepped in the wrong direction. That's the classic cycle. But the Oilers weren't able to generate much off of that, and the Jets focused so much on that. So, no, I agree with you. Yet, it's funny, you know, you look at Montreal and what they're doing. I mean, like, Josh Anderson has a goal in 10 games, right? He's that player. He's that guy that's supposed to be down in those corners grinding around. And, you know, Brendan Gallagher has a couple of goals. They're getting it. You know, Kotkaniemi's got four, and Suzuki's got four, Armia's got four. They just have these guys that are playing the game in a way, and they're just pumping these things in. So it's impressive. Like, it's impressive. And I don't know. What do you think happens when they go south if that ends up being it? You know, you watch the Vegas and Colorado series, like, can Montreal just walk in there and take one of those teams out?
You know, you know what? I'm actually a little bit nervous of what it could happen. Because if they get whipped four straight by one of those teams, you know, like literally all hell's going to break loose in the hockey world. And everything that happened in the North will be challenged. The point totals, everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It'll be crazy. Now, you know, is Montreal the best suited team to compete with Vegas? I mean, or Colorado? You know, I mean, Vegas is very well coached. Given what they've done to the Avalanche defense to slow them down, getting up the ice, has completely changed that series from game one and, well, I guess kind of game one and a half, let's say, Shogart. Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, if part of me wants to see it happen, but part of me doesn't, because I don't want to have to deal with that. It'll be a gong show. Imagine if Montreal goes down.
Yeah, it'll go back to, I mean, when these teams start playing each other again, right, when the schedule normalizes and, you know, we can sort of put that to rest 20 games into the season next year. But watching that Vegas and Colorado series, like, you look at the way, like, to your point, the way those Colorado D-men, the way they can get up ice and the plays that they can make and just how, you know, man, what an impact they can have on the game. And then you see Vegas kind of counterpunch, and then they've brought the right stuff the last few games. It's such a good series, and it's tactical. There's great high-end skill. Vegas, it's a little more spread out. It's just great hockey. But it almost feels like the Memorial Cup, hey? Like, remember, for the full season in completely different leagues, and then the Mem Cup starts, and you're like, oh, my God! You know, like, Plymouth is going to play Kamloops or, you know, something like that. Like, it might feel like that a little bit.
Well, I'll say the first time, well, both times I played in the Memorial Cup, honestly, I probably couldn't name five players of all the other three teams we were playing against. I had no idea. I had no idea who they were. Like, there was no, like, I guess you could look in the hockey news, but, you know, now it feels just like that. And how do we match up? Are these guys more physical? Is this a faster league? Is this guy tougher? Like, oh man, it'll be interesting to go through it, but it looks like Montreal is going to go in there. And, you know, Petrie's finger, though, is a big issue. And to randomly get it caught in the hole that people are taking pictures through, that's pretty random if that does set him
up. Yeah, that's just tough luck. I hope he's able to play. Like, he's important for them, and it would be a tough loss for Montreal if he was unavailable for something so freak and silly like that. But we'll see if they can finish her off and take a breather and then sit back and let those other guys, just those powerhouses, just smash their heads against one another for another three games.
100%, 100%, Shauger. Always appreciated. I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, have a great night, pal. See ya.